Grey's Anatomy is back, and so are we. Come back and hang out with us as we dissect the episode.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Clearly moving on a break.
Yes, big time.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Kelly, and I have a brand new panel of hosts with me, except for Shannon. You guys know Shannon. We are in Grey's Anatomy Season 13, Episode 10, You Can Look, But You Better Not Touch. Shannon, where can they find you on social media?
Just at Shannon Bobo everywhere.
And then our newbies, introduce yourselves.
Yes, hey everybody, I'm Timothy Michael. You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Timothy Mike. So excited to be here.
Yes, and I'm Lanisha. You can find me at Lanisha_33 on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm excited to be here as well. I'm such a Grey's fan. This is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, we've got a male voice.
Male voice.
But still, it kind of like, you know, we've had just girls for a while.
Yeah, wait till we get a more emotional episode.
And we have a very, very special guest with us who is also a big Grey's Anatomy fan. Everyone say hello to Rachel Current.
Yes,
hello.
And you guys can catch Rachel on the New Edition story, which the last episode of the series premiered tonight. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely going to dive into that and talk about her role in that show. But let's start with this new Grey's Anatomy episode.
Yes.
So what did you guys think? We went to prison today.
Yes.
We're in prison all night long.
You know, it's so funny because with Grey's Anatomy, I always think, like, what else are they going to do? And then they bring in a completely different environment and completely different, like, take on you know, medical issues,
right.
which is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. It must be stripped from the headlines or something, I'm sure. Like, where they got this idea, probably, you know?
Well, and I thought it was very interesting that they did highlight, like, funding.
Mm-hmm.
And just
it's like a problem. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because I think I know that there's a lot of, you know, people are torn with that because it is, you know, a lot of it. And in this episode, they were dealing with, you know, extremely mm-hmm. violent criminals. And, you know, you got to think, you know, what did these people do to get in there? Mm-hmm. All the taxpayer money. And is it
but
right?
I immediately thought about private. Obviously, it wasn't a private prison because it wouldn't have had a problem
like a
with
the
massive
security.
Yeah. It's a state prison, obviously. Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad because it's like public schools versus charter schools. It's like charter schools mostly get all the funding and everything like that, and then private prisons, going to summer camp.
Yeah,
the funding is definitely unfortunate because it's a woman's prison, mm-hmm. And like they were talking mm-hmm. about not having enough, you know, sanitary napkins or pads, whatever, but, you know, not having just enough things that women need in the prison, and you have to be spread out, and that's uncomfortable, like, mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Recipe for disaster, like this little girl. Like, she's a mess.
I mean, let's talk about this girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, 16 years old. Rachel, what do you think about that? 16-year-old girl in prison, pregnant.
It just really hits home because it just makes you really realize that it's out there. And that's reality. And, you know, I feel very sheltered after watching the show because I have my little small problems. And then you look at these inmates with real problems and mm-hmm. you're like, wow, that's actually out there. And it is actually out there.
Yeah.
And it actually is there's a huge population of it. So it was intense for me. I'm still shooken from it. As you see, I'm in this emotional place. Because when I go deep.
I mean, it was definitely very intense. And I think one of the things that kind of shocked me the most was how terrified and jumpy Bailey was. I mean, you have the Nazi that just cannot mm-hmm. handle this.
Yeah,
she had a dog that barked louder. She's like,
right.
I was thinking my lane on this one.
I mean,
she got a taste of her own medicine this episode. She's like,
I was a little disappointed because I thought there was going to be some like crazy backstory that someone in her family was in prison. Right?
Yes.
I felt like they had kind of like
had a sheltered life.
Trauma, but now she was just scared
because they mm-hmm. didn't really get into exactly what she did. And it was like, but then you create this life, like she had the perfect life. Mm-hmm. So what made her turn? What got her in prison? Like they didn't really go deeper into that.
Go ahead. I think it was her mom. And I think she wanted her mother's love and mm-hmm. she didn't get it. Her mom wasn't even there for her birth. So I think that said it all.
As far
as what she did, maybe that was like the tease. But as far as why she was the way she was, I mm-hmm. got it all in that small bit of she wanted her mother's love. She never got the acceptance mm-hmm. and those around her saw it and they tried to give it to her. But when you don't have your mother's love, and some girls have daddy issues, mm-hmm. mommy issues.
Right.
You just suffer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a very good point because, I mean, she's had this picture-perfect life. As she was talking to Joe about it, her mom made casseroles, wore pearls out in public. They did cartwheels on the beach. But, you know, to your point, I think that no matter how it looked on the inside, she just might not have really been seen. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely. All of these bad things that she did was just to get that attention that she was craving.
Right. She just needed
but
her
that's
mommy.
Why I love mm-hmm. the scene between Arizona and the mother, because she said pay attention to your daughter because you never know. She can go to the best schools and she can be beautiful and she can have everything going for her and then something goes wrong. And I kind of love the fact that this episode didn't go into, you know, the specificities of why she is in this prison, because if you think about it, if the more specific you make it, the more detached that you can be from it.
Right.
Like, oh, that can never happen to me because it's so specific. Mm-hmm. But them being vague about it, I mean, you can literally think of that can happen to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Did anybody else think that that they were going to tell something else about Bailey?
Yeah,
that's what I thought you were asking.
That's what I thought you were
saying.
That's what I was actually
Bailey is somebody in your family?
I did. I actually thought that there was going to be a backstory for Bailey when Arizona asked her, what did prison ever do to you?
Right. Like, and they both had this pause.
Yes, and I was like, Bailey.
Yeah, but it just never went there. What else do we get? So she's 31 weeks pregnant, and she had,
vampire twin, as we referred to,
this poor baby is having to kind of pump blood for the both of them, so they want to fix it. And my sister just had a baby, so it was like
congratulations.
Really emotional. I'm a new auntie, I'm so excited. But it was really emotional just to kind of like watch that part of it, and especially her being alone and her mom not wanting to, and all of that. So I kind of like teared up and all of that with the baby.
But did anybody else, I mean, I guess we on some level felt bad for her, but did anybody else kind of go, well, you're crazy, so you deserve to be
I mean,
sure.
I did too. It was a few moments. Right? I'm crazy.
Right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but like, she is still young.
Yeah, she is. So. But 16 years old, like her sentence is 20 years to life. She's not even 20 years old yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the part that's scary, is like she's not even, you know, really old enough to understand, you know, that this is the consequence of like having a really bad tantrum, no matter what she, you know, depending on what she did.
Well, it's just so fascinating because, like I said earlier, you know, they were so vague about why she is in there, but on some level, I do want to know why she was in this prison for 20 years to life as a 16-year-old. Like, what could you possibly have done?
Probably killed somebody.
Maybe she killed the father.
Me too.
And that's why
why the mother is so upset with her and doesn't want to talk to her, see her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. It could be. What do you think?
Look, but don't touch.
I mean, I think the list could go on. Yeah. I actually come from, I don't know if you guys are familiar with La Jolla, and it's like a picture-perfect life. Like, the cookie-cutter moms and this and that, and the children go crazy if they don't get a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I actually could understand the episode, and I actually kind of related to the episode because I've seen, you know, kids who get brand new Range Rovers at 13 and can't even drive the car yet, and you know, take a drink and accidentally kill somebody and had went to jail for 4 years.
Wow.
So I can understand this episode, and I can see how a life can change, especially when, you know, you're trying to portray and you're trying to be, but it's not actually who you are. So I can understand why at 16, if you're not able to be yourself and you're not able to, and you have to act this way and you have to present yourself this way to your family and the world, but inside you're screaming, just love me for me. You know what I mean? And that's why maybe it was left open what she did.
Yeah.
Because there's numerous amounts of possibilities to what she did.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty clear. Mm-hmm.
And we can leave it to the viewers to
fill in the gaps. Do you even know what love me for me means? Like, do you even know what me is?
Absolutely.
Like, when you're 16?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's just
there's,
like,
I did. 9 year old.
I still don't know
right?
why.
I'm just
figuring
it out.
I'm still figuring it out.
Well, from your parents. From your parents is the point.
Yeah.
When your parents are like, sit, do this, act this way, act that way. At 16, 13 even, is kind of the rebellious state. So at 16, you're certainly, if you came out that way, you're certainly going to do dire things for that attention. And she did something dire, obviously.
Yeah,
that's pretty
clear.
Wanted
a life.
Just going off of relationships in the episode, I expected, since it was Joe, Arizona, and Bailey in the episode, I felt like Joe would have such a strong connection to this girl, just because, and they touched up on it as they always do with Joe's backstory. You know, she hasn't had the best life. She had an abusive husband, grew up in a car, didn't have the best life. And then you look at this girl, and she has had the best life, and this is where she is, and Joe hasn't, and she's a doctor. Mm. Like, it's just Grey's
choices.
Anatomy just set.
Yes. Yeah. Just showing choices that you can make. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I like, too, how she said, you're trying to relate to me, you think we're the same, we're not the same. Like, I grew up better than you, right. And look at where I am versus mm-hmm. you're a doctor. And I thought it was kind of funny where she's like, the stars are just like us, like, right. in the magazines, you know, kind of like the celebrities are just like us, the kind of a thing. And it's just, it's unfortunate, you know, and I think that, you know, when she's going through labor and she realizes that her mom's not going to be there and just having her, you know, this, you see this, her be so vulnerable as this 16-year-old mm-hmm. girl, I want my mommy. Mm-hmm. And it's just so heartbreaking.
Did you guys see the look mm-hmm. on the officer's face?
Yes.
When she was in that, and then I guess her name was Officer Hall or something like that. Mm-hmm. She just put her head down because it was that heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Just being in the room and this woman crying for her mother. And
with shackled up. Oh. Like, oh, it's the worst. And it's like, I'm sure she's seen it all then. Like, that, but that look, it's like, you can't help but feel for it. It's like, you know.
But then you have to go back and think that when the doctor first walked in, she jumped, attacked the doctor, and like dislocated her finger.
That's what I can't get crazy. Over. Like, I'm
but
just
at the
like,
same time, she didn't give a pregnant woman her snacks, so.
But she gave her
things
are gonna go down.
Like, come on now.
Absolutely. I kind of felt, you know, remember when they lifted Arizona's leg, and that made me feel so uncomfortable. Yep. I was like, oh, like, she's a doctor. Yeah. She has one leg. Like, just no. They have to make sure that she can hide.
You have to. Like, go. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I always forget that Arizona's been through all of this and she doesn't have a leg. Like, and I always forget because, I don't know, Grey's has taken us on through so many journeys. That,
that was just like, that was just so awkward, but it just showed the realness of going into the prison system, and it's how they're basically like shackled and treated like animals, including the people who were visiting them.
I mean, it's
she
no
was
joke.
Treated like an animal,
you know.
And that was very real. It's like, and imagine like it actually being there. I mean, I haven't visited, I think once when I was volunteering, but I've never been to a prison, so I was like, oh my God. This is a lot for me right now.
Yeah, no, I have before. It's not very, it's scary to go in there. And I've got, you know, I got in trouble once because I didn't update my address. Had the wrong ID.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's no joke. Like, it's, you know, you see people that go in there and it's, you know, there's different sections and all of that. And it's, you know, it's crazy to be, you know, you look at all the people that are there and, you know, everybody's different circumstance and you just kind of wonder, you know, like she was saying, like, I'm really sorry. I wish I could take it back. But, you know, kind of like, here I am, you know, and there's so many people that are in there for those long sentences and all of that. And you got to wonder, like, do they really feel sorry? And when you look at everything that they don't get, and when looking at there's, you know, not enough food, there's not enough this, there's not enough that,
supplies.
You know, people just look at them like, oh, well, they're bad people, so who cares?
Right.
And it's just,
but it's like the humanity.
Right.
Yeah. Like having compassion and empathy even for,
it's like they're still humans.
Violent crime.
Right.
And speaking of circumstance, I just love how Grey's Anatomy took us out of the Grey's Anatomy world and put us into this other world to see how other people, their attitudes have changed in their environment, like the Dr. Elridge and then the lawyer and then, you know,
I love the lawyer. She was awesome.
Like, it was like all these people that are just hard. Like, they're just hard. Yeah, and it's like, I guess that's just how you have to be when you're in this environment. Yeah.
That way.
I think you really become a number in the system. Yeah. And I think they never want you to come back. And I think they are taught to show no compassion and have no compassion because these are criminals. Yeah. And in their minds, you're no longer, you know,
like, dehumanize them.
You have to dehumanize them, unfortunately.
That's just like the officer, she kept referring to her as inmate. She never called her by her name.
Like,
her name was
they
Kristen.
Call them
it was
by
just
numbers.
Inmate, yeah.
In prison.
Yeah. It's like never
number
by name.
Number 49, number 94, you know, your prison number. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But you also got to think, the minute she got that VIP treatment and someone came in, the first thing she did was attack the doctor. But, you know, so that's kind of why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that they have to be the way that they are, because, like, you give someone an inch and this is what happens.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's crazy, and it's just such an intense thing. And
absolutely, was anybody else nervous when she was holding a baby? I was like, don't hurt the baby.
I knew she wasn't going to hurt her baby.
I know she wasn't going to hurt her baby. She was so sweet, but I was still like,
I was still there too. Like, or I guess I was thinking, I just didn't want anyone to to tip her off, like to right. kind yeah. of, you know, yeah. make her go there. You know,
yeah. how cute was that little baby? Good casting. We needed that moment of love.
We did. Yeah. That yeah. I knew that was that moment of just love,
like just pure unconditional love.
Was gonna happen. And that was our awe moment.
Yeah, and just what she was saying.
I'm so nervous yeah. though. I was like,
as you know, be good. Don't be like me. Like, mm. be, and it's just like
that was that. Very sweet.
I
was, yeah. yeah,
and I got emotional during that part because then I felt bad for her. She's like, I'm not your mom. I'm no one. Like, and that's a. You know, that's hard to deal with when it's you sure. feel that way, when you don't feel it's loved and you still have a child.
Side, that vulnerable yeah. side again of love me. I mm-hmm. think all this girl ever wanted was love and yeah. she didn't get the right kind of love.
I disagree mm-hmm. with you. I really do. After she told this whole story about her mother and how her mother like baked casseroles and took her to the beach. And
but what Carl does that like, mean?
She spent have, time with her.
I like, have friends who, like I said, mm-hmm. from the area I'm from, beautiful homes, gifted you know, cars that some people don't see in their mm-hmm. lives at age 13. Mm-hmm. And they do the dumbest things because they did not feel loved the right way. Just because you're from...
material, yeah.
Material doesn't mean bring, anything. Yeah. Just because the mother acted perfect, she probably was like, get away from me when, you know, mm-hmm. the public attention wasn't on them. You know, when she wasn't baking casseroles, she probably didn't want to read her a story. She probably mm-hmm. didn't want to hug her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mommy dearest would, type stuff.
Don't right. think just because a person comes from this kind of life that it was all good, because it really is not. A person doesn't have to be from the ghetto to not have had the proper kind of love.
No.
A person doesn't have to be from a casserole mansion to not have had the proper kind of love. Mm-hmm. We all make our own decisions.
You're right.
Unfortunately, this poor girl, and I felt for her in this episode, she just had issues. And yeah. she was not loved the right way.
Well, just
casseroles are not.
Right. Well, just speaking on issues, they never even like delved into like maybe mental right. instability right. issues.
Yeah, it could have been that too. Absolutely.
Well. Yeah, they didn't go there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's just so many unanswered questions with this episode. And I get why they
totally.
Did it. Yeah.
I think because I've answers. Seen so much of it mm-hmm. from where I'm from, I don't even need it. I can just get it. Yeah. I can name three of my friends that I can name that girl right now.
Description.
You know?
But the part where she did, and I see where you're
I don't want them
from.
Breaking my fingers.
They might.
But I see where you're coming from, because you're talking about, even though it was all picturesque, her favorite memory is when her mom had no makeup on and they were at the beach doing cartwheels
yeah,
all night.
I mean,
and
it's cute.
That was more of a one-off. That was more of a personalized moment, which could have been very few and far between, and that's kind of what she was craving.
No, yeah, I understand that. I get being seen but not really being seen.
Right,
and
sure.
I get
that's
what
I'm saying about the casseroles
yeah.
and the mm-hmm. cookie yeah. cutter
yeah.
life.
Yeah. So I get it. It's sad.
Yeah.
It is what it's it sad. Is. It's life.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about shows like this, is we can see all types and mm-hmm. versatilities mm-hmm. and people like you who are like, she had the casserole in the house and this. People like you can see just because you come from that. You know, because mm-hmm. you might not have that knowledge of it.
Oh, girl, I did not grow up in the best situation. So,
but I'm just
I mean,
saying,
it's like,
don't think because
no,
you did
no, yeah.
that you're not going to not be good.
Oh, no, I get where you, I'm picking up what you're putting down, girl. I got you. I got you.
I mean, it just goes to show you that it doesn't matter where you come from or how much money
exactly.
you have. It doesn't matter. Right. It just really doesn't. I mean, there's so many people that come from, you know, so much or so little. And it's, you know,
crazy
really sad. It's really sad to see. And, you know, luckily not all of them, like, go to the extreme to where she went. But, you know, when people
sometimes
do,
it
it's just kind of, you know, is what it is. And
like the Menendez boys. Remember, they just
oh,
killed
God.
Their parents
I know,
and they
just,
were rich.
I
don't know what.
I'm saying. Exactly.
I didn't see it, but I'm
exactly.
watch that.
Joaquin
yeah.
Phoenix had the world.
Yeah.
I know.
Young actor.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
but sometimes
yep.
it just happens.
It's yeah, no, it's definitely crazy.
And I like the casting on Kristen's mom, like that was great casting,
yeah.
and it was
yeah.
she played that role to a T.
She
the
did.
Cookie,
yeah.
mommy
yeah.
dearest. I'm like, you know, she was very mommy
but
dearest.
I'm disagreeing with you guys. I did not get mommy dearest from her. I really felt for this woman.
Oh,
I did. I felt for the mom. I understood.
Oh,
I guess I'm
Hannah. Even when she said her name is Hannah, she wouldn't even let her have the name.
No. Here's the thing with the name thing. Like, you're not going to be raising your child. You do not get to have a say in her. You made your decision. You are in prison. You are not going to be raising her. You're not going to be spending the time to raise this child. I will be. So I will name her what I want to name her.
Ooh.
So I completely understand where
I
she
am
came
so happy
from.
You're not my dad.
Sorry,
I'm taking it up for the mother.
I mean, on the other side of it, the girl just could have been crazy.
Yeah.
Her mom doesn't have to be horrible for her to be crazy. Sometimes people can just be crazy.
That's true.
Or sometimes they're neglect. I mean, who knows? That's the greatest thing about it was we can debate it forever. It can go so many ways.
I like how I said, you better not touch. You can look, but you better not touch. I make it hurt.
I do kind of want to dive into the doctor, though, Dr. Elridge, because I felt like her character was pretty intense this episode, and I felt like she really drove the story along because she was so cold-hearted, but then her character arc throughout the end of the episode was kind of like, okay, loosen out
the chains.
Yeah, and then her and Miranda had this thing in the beginning, and then they started like kind of getting to understand each other, especially in the inventory supply room.
She put Bailey in her place, and that when she tried to all of a sudden kind of like buck up, that's chief to you, this is what we need. And then she's like, okay, come here, let me show you. Like,
exactly.
Let me show you. Yeah. Tell me how I can ration this, you know? And it was kind of like to put it into perspective, I think that was the best thing, is to put that sort of thing into perspective so someone can see, because it's really easy to say, oh, you should do this and you should do that and why don't you do this and let me make it better, and then she says, I don't dictate that, the state does, and I have to do, and then I get to, you know, I get to be the lucky one, they get to say, oh, you get a sanitary napkin today, but you don't,
and that's a hard choice, or, for she has to be the one to provide for one inmate and not for the other, you know what I mean, and how does she make that decision of who gets it and who doesn't, you know, and then like we said, she started to soften up towards the end of the episode, but like you said earlier,
did she soften up,
because
we just got to know her situation, so it made us
open
up before,
maybe not soften up, but just kind of,
she was still pretty, she was like, all right, I'll let her take the handcuffs off, she was still pretty hard,
but it's like we got to understand her a little bit better, you know what I mean, you kind of have to be, you can't be the one that of the shoulder that they can cry on, because then maybe they'll take advantage, you know, it's a tough thing, a thin line you have to walk with the inmates,
stressful,
because it's like you want to still look at them as human beings, but at the same time, you can't cross that line and be too sensitive because they'll take advantage.
It's a good point, because then at what point in your personal life do you turn that off?
Yeah.
You know, like when she leaves the prison at night, is she able to turn that off?
Well, it's like you ask the same thing for doctors. I mean, they have to tell millions of patients, like, your daughter's going to die in 6 months from cancer. Mm-hmm. How do they turn off being a human being and walk in that room and have no emotion or feeling, and tell parents or even young girls, you know, you don't have much time left. You know what I'm saying? So, and then how do you tell a lawyer who walks out in the public not to be that, taking on a client who just maybe murdered or did horrible things to children to turn it off.
Yeah.
So I think there's many facets to what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's a very, very interesting kind of thing. And that's the great thing about the show, is it takes you through all of those emotions and you get to see a lot of that. Because especially with a lot of the interns and throughout the ones that we've seen, having to deal with going to tell someone, I'm sorry, your loved one didn't make it.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, and they learn, you know, I don't think it ever, you know, it ever gets easy, but you know, just comes at a point where, like you said, you know, when Christina was on the show and her character was just like, it's just a body. It's just, it's just work. It's just work. And she was
mentally,
so disassociated.
You have to if you take on these sorts of jobs.
How did you guys feel after the winter break, only coming back to Joe, Miranda, and Bailey, and not seeing Meredith and Alex and Richard and everybody else?
Yeah.
I think because it was so intense, and it was like,
you just don't come off.
She's so funny. Oh, you cracked me up, girl.
I was kind of over it for a while. Like, you know, the whole thing, like, Grant, like, irritated me, and whatever. No, it's making me mad because Joe was such a crybaby, and, you know, it's like, come on. And the way she had all of that, I needed a break from that.
Yeah.
It was nice to see something from a whole, like, left field.
Yes, they have to leave all their BS out on the door, because it was like, oh my God, it's me against this little girl.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
That's so intense. Very intense. After that episode, I'm like,
Take a deep breath.
No, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, and then, you know, after all of that kind of gets settled, and Arizona goes to the mom and is like, so if this one makes a mistake, are you going to leave her too?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was deep.
That's, you know, that was pretty rough, especially not necessarily knowing the situation.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess if you look at it, some people may look like a mother's love is supposed to be unconditional. So no matter what was done, you should still be
not
the mother,
if your mommy you know? Dearest.
And you make casseroles.
Me and Shannon and Rachel are going to go down to the tea with this.
I keep talking about those casseroles.
I'm bringing a wire hanger.
Was it just me, or in the end of the episode where they were all in the car, did anybody else get like car PTSD or anything like that? Did you guys expect like when she like, got out of the car, like, she was going to get hit like, by like, a car? Right. Because I was like, maybe it's just Grey's Anatomy messed with my head, but I felt like they were going to get into a car crash or like something. I was like, first Cali, now Arizona.
Well,
I don't know.
I know. I was just waiting for that, you know, even though we got like the one violent, you know, finger breaking thing, I thought there was going to be something bigger. Even when Joe was kind of hugging Kristen, I was like, she's going to like, you know, choke her, like something's going to happen.
Well, I was nervous about the baby, but the baby was the moment. Yeah. So I understand that.
Yeah. Have you guys never been in the car and you've been hit with some news and you're just like, I need to get out?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's happened to me. So as soon as she got out the car, I'm like, girl, I get it,
because
I've been there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
On the 405.
Just stop traffic. Is that why there was traffic that day? Rachel?
I need a minute.
Yeah, but you know with this show, somebody's getting shot at or, you know, buildings are falling on people.
Came inside, swiped her.
That was some pretty heavy news.
She did, but I don't know. Like, that whole situation with her, like, it still bugs me. And it's like, you know, are you sick because you feel bad or are you sick because you feel guilty? Mm-hmm. Not that you necessarily care. Like, it just, the whole way that she handled that whole situation, I don't know what everyone else seems to think about it, but I just, it bothers me. She never really had, you know, even in the last episode where she finally kind of, like, sprung it on Alex, I just feel like it was still, after all, everything that they've been through together and their relationship and everything, it just didn't seem genuine to me. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, I disagree. I think that she really does love Alex. I'm going to disagree on everything. No, that's
good. That's what we do.
She said, what do you guys think? What do you guys think?
No, I really think that she does love Alex.
I think that you're wrong. But...
I think that's... and I just feel like, you know, it's just, it was a wrong place, wrong time, and she doesn't know how to handle it because
she doesn't know how to handle it.
That's enough. You know, and especially with everything going on, at least kind of talk to Karev, let him know something. And if you kind of know he has that, he's hot tempered, you know what I mean? We know this about him. So,
she's been with him for how long? It's not a secret.
Right.
It's like, come
on. You know who he is. It's like at some point, you know, kind of talk to him and let, you know, and you know, why are you so upset that he did that? That's, I guess, what I'm trying to get to. You know what I mean? That he beat the guy up that bad. Like, why are you so surprised? You know what I mean?
He thought that something was happening to her and he was essentially protecting her at the end of the day. No matter how bad it was and how over the top and he was absolutely wrong in his mind, knowing him, he was protecting her, and all she's doing is she's like mad at him and goes and hides and cries.
But knowing her past and her mind, it's bringing up all this PTSD because she's come from an abusive relationship. And if you see a man doing that to somebody else, then what in your mind is stopping him from doing that to you?
No, that's a good point. But that's also something, you know, you have all of these people around, there's all these people wanting to kind of like help and get involved. Talk to someone. You know, obviously keeping secrets hasn't worked for you because look at what happened. Right. Is she just never going to learn from her mistake?
She's just very reactive.
Yeah. You know, it kind of goes like back into that. It's like
she just does things.
Yeah.
But at some point, being a grown up, you have to learn how to, you know, deal with your, you know, kind of like change the pattern.
Face it, talk about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Communicate. You know, kind of, especially with the person you're supposed to love.
There's a difference between when you don't react. Oh, anyway!
There's an action for every reaction?
That was a good one, though.
I'll think of it.
Okay. She's going to be here. She's going to tweet at us later and be like, I know what it is. And be like, Rachel, go to bed, girl.
So now,
yes.
After all of that prison drama and everything, and we're in the car, we find out that, you know, Joe finds out that Alex was going to turn himself in and all that, and we really don't know yet if he did or if he didn't. You know, but those of you that watched the preview after you had to watch a whole first half of Scandal, then it kind of looks like he did, right? But with Grey's, you never know.
Right. That's so, what I was about to say.
But they do say he was in jail because at the end of the show from the before the winter break, he was in the office and they called his name. So in this, in the preview, Meredith was like, Alex is in jail.
Yeah.
So,
but he could just be in jail waiting for trial. Yes. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that he turned himself in.
Yeah, that's true.
So who knows?
I mean, yes, because his trial was still, he still had the trial. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah, if we're going to say anything, I think that, what's his face? The guy that Alex beat up. Oh gosh, I can't remember his name right now. Ooh. Grey's Anatomy. You fans are going to kill me. But the guy that he... DeLuca, thank you. Yes. The DeLuca, I think DeLuca is going to just drop the charges at
you
the
think?
End of it.
Mm-hmm. After I don't think so. This.
I think so.
I don't think so. I think Joe is going to stand up and like finally spill her beans.
But I think that's why he's going to drop the charges, because of Joe. Because remember, he likes Joe.
Yeah, he does like Joe. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
It'll be interesting to watch. I don't know. But Rachel, tell us about girl. Tell us about this miniseries.
There's a difference between things. I'm going to think of it. I'm going to think it's driving me crazy. Okay. Sorry.
Yes. So tell us about you. Let's switch gears here. Tell us about the New Edition story. Okay. Huge fan of New Edition growing up. So how awesome was it to be part of that?
Amazing. I'm going to be honest with you. After booking it, I really saw how diehard their fans are and how much love New Edition has.
Wow.
I was around the time of NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, but I did not know they actually got their influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were influenced by New Edition.
Oh, I just dated myself.
I'm kind of there, but it was like, it was not the New Edition.
Yeah,
I'm more New Edition too.
Their love, and that's why I think the ratings are so amazing right now because of the love of the fans that have been around with them for forever.
Yes.
How about Candy Girl?
That's right.
Now, really quick, because without doing any spoilers, what is your role on the show?
Oh, it's already spoiled. My role, I'm playing Shamari Fierce, who is Ronnie DeVoe's wife.
Okay.
She was in the girl group Black.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember.
I do.
Black. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bring It On.
Yeah.
Okay.
So many great hits from her music. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I'll be playing.
Do you get to sing in the show?
Heck no.
Did you get to meet the woman that you played?
Absolutely.
Okay, oh, wow. And how was she? Was she
she's amazing. She's so down to earth. She's cool as can be.
Before or after?
After.
Okay, after.
She was amazing to be on set. But
it's too bad because you could have got some pointers.
So how do you prepare? I'm sure it has to be more difficult to play an actual real person than it is like a fictional character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you prepare for that?
Well, I have known, loved, and admired Shamari since a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
I performed for talent shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I've looked up to her. So Bring It On, shoot, I was a cheerleader. We used to pretend to be her.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Clippers.
Yeah.
Yes.
So before I even, when I auditioned, before booking it, I knew exactly what I was walking into. And I was just myself and I had fun with it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and then after I booked it, of course, I studied her interviews, her dialect, her mannerisms, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty easy. We kind of have the same personalities. We have similar looks. So
awesome.
It's a blessing.
Wow.
What was the hardest part for you, like getting to know this role? Like, what was the hardest? Was it the
thinking back? I was gonna be hot? Thinking I was gonna have to sing. I can't hold a note.
Like, I know they don't want me to sing.
Right. Getting ready to lip sync.
Exactly. So, is it going to be a series now? Because it's like it's catching so much buzz. Hopefully, do you have any?
You all have to wait.
Okay.
Because
it could
happen. But be excited. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, where can everyone find you on social media?
I am. My Twitter is @Rachel_Currents, and that's where you can keep up with everything going on.
Awesome.
All that sort of stuff.
So. Any other upcoming projects that we should?
I am working on an Amazon TV show.
Awesome.
Amazing.
I also have a reoccurring role on a series called Siblings.
So. Great. That's amazing.
So everybody make sure to go to Twitter and follow for to keep up with Rachel and all the fun stuff that she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for being on with us. Yeah. That's another great fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Come back anytime. So we can talk.
Are you sure about that?
No, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm here every day.
That's so great.
No, challenging is good. All right, let's do some predictions. See what we think is going to happen. Oh, next week.
Rachel's gonna kick her
out. You, Rachel, we're gonna put you in the hot seat. What do you think is gonna happen next week on Grey's Anatomy after watching this episode?
Oh, I didn't say nothing. Well, I think that, you know, some absolutely intense, insane stuff is gonna happen.
Can't go wrong with that. Shannon, what about you?
Well, I think Joe is gonna, like, try to defend Alex. And I think it's going to... I don't think he's going to prison because I don't think they can afford to lose a great character like him. I don't think we're ready.
I don't know. Kashonda, I thought that about Wes on How to Get Away with Murder, and she crushed my soul. So. I don't know if we can go with that logic.
So we'll see. I think everything's going to be great. Alex is going to be able to make pancakes in the morning for the kids. Other stuff. So remember that episode when he said he wanted pancakes for the kids.
What about you guys?
I think I already kind of spoiled my prediction earlier. I think that DeLuca is going to probably drop the charges because of the way he feels about Joe. And I feel like there's going to be a little love triangle between him, Joe, and Alex once he does drop those charges.
Those are state charges now, so I don't think he can drop anything.
Well, he's the one pressing the charges.
Yeah, but no, it's been taken up a little higher.
Sham, you better be a lawyer. She's trying to give me a check, you guys.
Mommy dearest.
Oh my goodness.
More so a prediction, but I'm just hopeful, even though I do, like you said, like he's a main character, too expensive. So I want to hold on to that. And hopefully he doesn't take the deal and he won't be convicted.
Yeah.
And him and Meredith are really close. I actually think I might want to see that.
No. I think she's going to, what's the name of the doctor?
That's her man. Doctor.
Yeah, that's her man.
Yeah, but there's foundation there, and there's, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but.
No, there's a lot, like there's a lot of people that are kind of wanting it.
I kind of think I might.
No.
I don't want it.
I'm not a fan of it.
I'm on that one.
That's just a bad taste in my mouth. It's like brother and sister. Like, no.
It is. Like, it's too. It's incestual.
I'm still here. Like, no.
I don't know.
We should be freaky, guys. Let's not touch that.
I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, we're like, no. No, Lanisha.
Okay, fine.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't even have a prediction, really. I agree with all of you guys, except I don't know about DeLuca. I think that he's, like, fought too hard that I don't think he... I think his pride will kind of, like, keep him from wanting to back down.
Okay.
Because he just wants to stand up for himself, rightfully so. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see, though, how it all turns out. Yeah.
You know.
You know, he got beat up pretty bad. He can't just, like, let it go.
Yeah, but love conquers all. He loves trouble.
Yes. You hope.
Luke and Joe could be together. And then,
yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. You know, we're back. Got off to a little rocky start, but we're back. We've got a new panel of friends.
New team.
I think it's good. Make sure to go to iTunes and YouTube and all the social channels and rate and comment our show. We love to hear what you guys think about the episode. Make sure. Thank you, Rachel, so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
It was so much fun. And you guys can catch me on social media at Kelly with an IE079.
At Shannon Bobo.
At I am Timothy Mike.
At Lanisha _33.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.